This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Monday afternoon, August 26th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Drop in mortgage rates could send a jolt into a scuffling housing market. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, the busy week ahead on Wall Street includes one of the most important tech earnings reports in years. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Tom Hudson, financial journalist based in Miami. Tom, thank you for joining us today. And like everybody, I think I have been touting this stock market rally as a sign that the economy is a lot more durable than people believe. However, when NVIDIA reports this week with a lot of other big names in tech, that could determine whether or not this rally is for real or if it's just all froth.
Yeah, certainly. Let's recall that the stock rally really has been concentrated, right, in the Magnificent Seven. Yes, the overall indices have certainly rallied. There's no doubt about it. But in an S&P 500 capitalization weighted index, these big, big tech companies really have undue influence over the overall direction of the overall index. So NVIDIA, right? I think three things to look for here, Rob. One is the outlook for artificial intelligence in the short term. How real is the business expectations that have been built up in this industry, particularly for NVIDIA, but others over the past several quarters? Second thing is overall tech spending resilience. Are companies still spending on technology, which feeds into the AI revolution? And then thirdly, overall, is the stamina in technology stocks, as witnessed with this sharp rebound we've seen here in August in NVIDIA shares.
And then speaking of durability, we do have durable goods orders out today, and it went up in the month of July, but it exceeded analysts' expectations.
That was a terrific transition, Rob. I just want to note that right there.
I've been doing this for 25 years, Tom. It finally came together.
Finally, right. One day we get it right, and I'm so excited to be with you when we both get it right here. But yeah, durable goods, big number, big headline number, but driven by one of the largest durable goods out there, which are airplanes, right? You know, this is not something you order today and expect to pick up in a week. Airplanes take a long time to build, of course. There's a long runway, pun intended there, for these airline sales to happen. And so that was a big influence in the total number of durable goods, the big jump that we saw last month.
And then tomorrow we have reports on housing and then weekly jobless claims on Thursday, along with revisions in GDP. And what are we expecting in the revised GDP figure?
Yeah, it's the second revision that we're expected to look at. And the second quarter numbers were firmer than expected originally when we saw the first version of these numbers. So the market is going to be assured, I think, that, listen, there's a decent soft landing, at least in the second quarter. I think additionally, it's that PCE, the Federal Reserve's favorite inflation number that comes out later this week, that the Fed's going to be focused on to try to reassure a week after Chairman Jay Powell really sent a very clear signal to the market that it's ready to cut interest rates in September.
Now, we do have the jobs report next week, and that is a segment for next week. But do the numbers that come out this week have the potential to be nowhere near the market mover that the jobs market, this August jobs report could be next week, just given the spiral that it sent the markets into just a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I think the last time you and I spoke, there was a higher level of importance on the weekly jobless claims, both it was especially the initial jobless claims and some of the continuous claims, because of the surprise unemployment number that we've had a month ago. So as we get closer to that monthly number next week, I think the weekly numbers become less and less important. Still important, yes, but I suppose less and less kind of market moving in the moment as they have been over the past few weeks.
Tom Hudson, financial journalist based in Miami, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, the impact of falling mortgage rates on the home buying market.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Home buying has slowed dramatically, but falling mortgage rates might soon revive the market. Joining us to help analyze what's happening is Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Drew, thank you for joining us today. And the smart money says the Fed is going to cut interest rates by at least a quarter point when they have their next policymaking meeting in September, and we could see another quarter point drop in November. What does that mean for the mortgage market? How will that, obviously mortgages, the 30-year fixed rate moves on a daily basis depending on where the bond market is at. But when the Fed weighs in, what does that do to mortgage rates?
Yeah, it certainly takes some time before, we actually see the impact from that and the benefits from that. But, this is something that we've all been kind of sitting on the edge of our seat waiting for, right? We've been hoping that this was going to happen, several quarters ago. But realistically, now that this is going to happen, we're starting to see that the refi market is starting to pick up a little bit because those folks that did lock in at those higher rates are now interested in securing a loan that is less, as well as it's going to start to put some competition out in the market as well. Things would be a little bit more competitive.
Yeah, how does that change the dynamic if you are buying or selling a home? Because for the last couple of years, the game plan has been you better be ready to go simply because there are so few homes for sale. But now, are more people inspired to buy in a lower interest rate environment, or are more people willing to sell in this type of environment because they can take advantage of lower interest rates when they find that new place?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and you said inspired, which I appreciate you doing that. We are looking at a lot of different changes here because with the competition, I mean, these house prices are already high. So unfortunately, it's going to tend to drive those up because of the competition. We're going to see people bidding on these again because here we go. The rates are lower. They want to get in. They want to get this house done before the cold weather and the climate changes. And then you've got the other side of those folks going, okay, now's a good time. Let's put our house up for sale. So I think we're going to see a little bit more inventory, but we're also going to see that competition driving these house prices up, which is also a little scary.
Now, let's say you bought during after COVID-19 when interest rates were higher, and then you refi at a lower rate. What does this mean for you and your household wealth? You're not leaving your house. You plan to stay there for a long time. But what does this mean for you as far as your net worth is concerned?
It actually helps it a lot. I mean, you think about it, it's you're paying down the mortgage more, so you're actually gaining a lot more equity in your house. And equity is just that value between what you bought it for and, what you owe on it. So the more you're able to pay it down, which a lower interest rates allow that, you're actually gaining a lot more equity. So your net wealth is increasing.
And then finally, when you mentioned very quickly, it's not going to happen just yet. You're not going to see the full effects of the Fed cutting interest rates just yet. But 10 years ago, when the Fed started their interest, or actually, I should say 20 years ago now, when the Fed started doing a hiking and then tapering cycle, how did the housing market change both coming and going?
So, with the back and forth of this market, I mean, people think that it's directly related, that once that Fed cut happens, I'm going to run to the bank and I'm going to go ahead and get a discount on my mortgage. It takes a little time to see where the financial markets are going to lie and what they're going to ultimately do to level this thing out and put some numbers that are challenging out there for the consumer to look at.
Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, making sure kids have a real understanding of money.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The start of a new school year is a great reminder about the importance of the subject of money. Let's discuss financial literacy for kids and how often it starts at home with Mark Horner, wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Wheaton. Find him online, fairhavenwealth.com. Mark, thank you for joining us today. Now, the state of financial education, just the basics of money for kids in school as a standardized curriculum, is kind of hit or miss. It really depends on the district.
It really does, Rob. And I think that's one of the life lessons that I think it's important for parents to really wrap their arms around and take responsibility for making sure that the kids are prepared as much as possible to make the right financial decisions. So I think starting at home on this topic makes a ton of sense. And by starting at home, it just starts by talking about money. So that's historically been a taboo subject, but talking about money with the kids, both your own experiences that you've made that you're happy with, but then also the experiences that you've made or decisions that you've made around money that maybe you're not so happy with. And so getting that conversation going is the very first step.
And there are some ways to make this fun, too, above and beyond, because I think when you have conversations about money with your kids, it can either go over their heads or you're delivering the wrong lesson. Maybe you're talking about mistakes you made and then it just kind of becomes a recitation of things you could have done better or done differently. But I did notice if you go through the kids section of a bookstore or on Amazon, there are a number of books that can activity books where you could teach your kids about money and have a good time doing it while imparting some valuable lessons.
Absolutely. So you're talking about, getting the kids to put their hands on the wheel. And I think that's where learning happens the most. So let's not get the eighth grader to sit down and start filling out spreadsheets. That's not the way to start. So one way that'll work no matter how old or young the kids are is to have them make their own decisions about what they do with savings or what they do with birthday money or holiday money. So what my wife and I have done with our kids is we've created basically an at-home 401k plan where we've made a deal with the kids to say, hey, for birthday money, if you put $10 into your savings account instead of spending it, mom and dad will match that dollar for dollar. And it's amazing the conversations that you hear little kids have about, hey, how much are you going to spend? What are you going to do with your money? You're going to be giving away free money from mom and dad. They will absolutely get it if you give them a chance to experience it themselves.
And what is the most important lesson, financial lesson or money lesson that a child or a high school student should know as you're embarking down this path? Should they turn savings into a habit? Should they know the value of a dollar and comparison shopping? What is the most important thing they should know if you're going to do this?
Boy, that's a tough one to distill all this stuff down to one item. But if I had to pick one thing, it's to wait on spending money. So I think there are very few decisions in life where we absolutely have to make a decision to spend this instant. And that waiting, teaching the kids to wait, you can call it delayed gratification or some other fancy term, but teaching the kids to wait before they spend, just to think about it, that's the right decision for them, I think that's probably going to be the most impactful throughout their lifetime. Because you just, no saving or investment plan can catch up with overspending.
Mark Horner, wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Wheaton. Find him online, fairhavenwealth.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Hey, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Dangerous heat in Chicago triggers the opening of cooling centers. Researchers track the relationship between extreme high temperatures and numbers of reported deaths. As people live longer, it requires greater planning for retirement. It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a couple of investment ideas from a money pro. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed. The Dow is up 91 points. The NASDAQ is down 140. The S&P 500 is down 13. We have 89 degrees right now at O'Hare under mostly sunny skies, going up to 96 today. Could break the record of 97. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. Warnings and advisories are in effect through tomorrow, with the heat index expected to push past 100. With that in mind, the city of Chicago will have six community service centers available for residents needing relief from the heat. They're open until 5 p.m. A total of around 250 locations citywide will be available for people seeking a cool down. That includes libraries and park district facilities. A new report in the Journal of the American Medical Association examines the connection between searing temperatures and death.
The study looked at heat-related deaths across the U.S. from 1999 to 2023. Last year set the record in those 24 years with more than 2,300 deaths. The report's author, Jeff Howard.
That is an increase of 117%, so basically doubled.
Most of the deaths happened in California, Texas, Nevada, and Arizona.
It's certainly concentrated in certain areas that have higher risk.
Howard believes if temperatures become more extreme, so will heat-related deaths. Brad Gibson for CBS News.
It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are mixed. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Ryan Dietrich, Chief Market Strategist with the Carson Group in Omaha, Nebraska. Ryan, thank you for joining us today. And before we talk about today's market activity, Ryan, let's go back to Friday and Fed Chair Jay Powell's comments in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, that essentially opened the door, laid the groundwork for an interest rate cut at their policy meeting next month. Your take on the chairman's remarks?
Yeah, thanks for having me. And speaking of records, right, we're looking at records across the board in the stock market here as we've come back a long way. And a lot of it is because what we just said on Friday, once a year, goes out to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, gives an economic update. And to keep this simple, he pretty much said listen, we've got two things we're always watching, right? The employment backdrop and inflation. For years, the Fed has been more worried about inflation. He said that he doesn't see any big worries with inflation. He thinks inflation is going to get back to 2%. Now they are watching the labor market, which is showing some signs of little bitty cracks here and there. So now the door is wide open for the first cut at the next, at their next meeting here in a couple of weeks. The big question is, will it be 25 basis points? Will it be 50? The bottom line, we'll know that probably after the next jobs number that comes out in a couple of weeks. But the reality is we no longer have a hawkish Fed. That's talk for a Fed that's hiking. We have a dovish Fed, one that's now going to be cutting, which the market put a bow on this. Friday soared. We saw over 90% of stocks on the NYSE higher on Friday, along with 90% of all the volume higher. You have to go back, Rob, last comment here. Since October of 2022, the end of that vicious 25% bear market, was the last time we saw a day as strong and as broadly based as we just saw on Friday. So we think it's a good thing.
Now, it's a big week for tech. NVIDIA will report. And what is the market looking for? Because every time NVIDIA has a quarterly earnings report, it sets the bar for superlatives even higher. And eventually, you run out of opportunities to top yourself. So what are you and other analysts looking for this week?
Yeah, I made half the joke that before really the last year that death, taxes, and NVIDIA beats on earnings were the things that you could put a, you know, you'd be certain of. And you're right. I mean, the incredible growth we've seen is amazing. It's been very well documented. The bar is very high. Now, we have seen, you know, some kind of wishy-washy, iffy things with AI with earnings so far. Google, remember when Google whenever earnings started about a month ago, wasn't so great, their reaction, some of the other big companies. So we'll see. I mean, the reality, though, is the demand is there. What they will say about, I believe it's called Blackwell, right? Blackwell, their new AI, you know, software that they have coming out, that was delayed before, or rumors being delayed. What will they say there will matter? But again, the reality, this is a huge company that had a 30% bear market not that long ago, and just nearly as quickly has come all the way back. So we're all focusing on it, but you know, this is the end of earnings season when they report. The reality, though, is this was a really solid earnings season overall. Maybe it could be the cherry on top at the end, but we saw a lot of good growth from other areas, not just technology, which to me, Rob, was a good thing about this earnings season.
And speaking of tech, also reporting this week is CrowdStrike, and you've been in this business for a long time, and does the CEO show up to the earnings call with wearing a t-shirt that says our update melted down the airline system and all I got was this lousy t-shirt?
Listen, I was trying to travel that weekend, that day that all happened. That was an absolute mess for any of us that were caught in that. So that'll be really interesting. I mean, that's one of those real fast-growing companies that obviously we learned real firsthand how many people really use it. I couldn't even check into my hotel when all that went down because their computer system, they're like literally writing down like a credit card on a piece of paper. So we learned real fast how CrowdStrike is obviously ingrained in our economy. So we'll see. I mean, a lot of people are upset about it, but, hey. But listen, I'm not, no recommendations. I can't give recommendations on stocks. Remember Chipotle, 9-10 years ago, got in a lot of trouble with some of their meats that they were doing. They were growing so fast, and it was causing people to get sick. Now, they got through that also. I don't know if it's going to be the same thing, but companies, as they grow, hit some pockets of problems. They're still a really solid company. So it'll be interesting to see what they have to say.
Ryan Dietrich, Chief Market Strategist with the Carson Group in Omaha, Nebraska. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, longer life expectancy brings the need to plan for a longer retirement.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Planning for retirement is becoming a longer-term proposition. Let's discuss making sure you have adequate funds with the help of Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rappaport-Rikus Capital Management in Chicago, author of the book Maximize Your Return on Life. Sherry, thank you for joining us today. And the good news is we as a population overall are healthier compared to those who came before us. And we have access to greater technology, which means we can live a lot longer than our relatives did. The downside is, though, you got to do a lot more saving to keep up with this longer lifespan.
Definitely, Rob. And I've been doing financial planning for a long time, and clients used to say, oh, look for the mid-80s. But I have clients now in their mid to late 90s. I've had clients that have lived over 100. So we have to plan for that. And the planning starts early. It starts in your 20s and 30s. That's when you have the long time horizon and the long time to plan.
Now, the traditional age for retirement is 65, and I feel like this age was set a long time ago, many decades ago, to account for the fact that a lot of people did not live very long past 65. I mean, people used to smoke a lot more. There were a lot more accidents. So we've learned an awful lot about diet and exercise and just generally taking care of yourself. So let's say if someone retired at 65 40 years ago, what were the odds of that person living very long after that retirement date? And if we're planning on retirement, should we also take into account for the fact that if we're living longer, chances are we're working longer?
Exactly. And, you know, 65 used to be you get your gold watch and you retire. But, you know, I'm hearing a lot of my clients say, I don't want to retire, but I don't want to work as hard. So there's a lot of flexibility today. People are maybe being consultants or they're being of counsel at law firms. So they're not fully retiring. But if you think about it, if you live till 95, that's 30 years, and you factor in inflation, expenses can get very, very high. And with people living longer, especially in their 90s, you really have to start thinking about what is the healthcare cost going to be? Are you going to want to go into a community? Are you going to want home healthcare? And that needs to be factored into your financial plan, because those costs can get very, very high.
Well, if someone is in college today, I remember reading a statistic back in 2013 that said someone born that year could potentially live to be 120, and thanks to advances in science, could live very comfortably well above the age of 100. And you have to really rethink not only your career aspirations, but your savings aspirations. So if you're out of college right now and you have that first grown-up job, does that place a premium on the fact that you should probably start saving right now and take advantage of that company retirement plan right now and not kick the can down the road and enjoy a few extra years of beer money?
Yeah, and Rob, you and I have talked about this a lot. The earlier you save, you have time on your side and a benefit. And it's not always how much you save. My opinion is always start saving, even if it's a little bit. And a great way to start saving is through your 401k plan, if that's an option. If not, you can also save through an IRA. But if you start saving in your 20s, there's a lot of statistics out there. If you wait 10 years before you start saving, you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars that could have been used to your retirement. So start saving now. And the other benefit to have financial security, and I mention this a lot, is live within your means. That means don't spend more than you have taken in, and make sure that you save a portion of your money coming in. You will not regret it. It's the best gift you can give yourself, financial security.
Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder, Rappaport-Rikus Capital Management in Chicago, and author of the book Maximize Your Return on Life. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday, and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday, and helping us out today is Matt Shapiro, president, MWS Capital in Chicago. Matt, thank you for joining us today. And two selections, and your first one comes from the manufacturing space.
Yes, based in Downers Grove, a local, diversified, and large, relatively, manufacturing company, Dover Corporation. Stock trades at 182. It's that sort of, you know, quiet, money managery kind of reasonable PE ratio of about 17, steadily growing in about five different business segments, for instance, pumps and process that go into energy, manufacturing, all sorts of things. One of the most exciting segments, and why I think the stock is interesting, is data center growth and data centers, which have air cooling predominantly right now. It's critical that they switch to liquid cooling, and one of Dover's subsidiaries is the leader in providing very specialized components that help move fluid around semiconductors and data centers and servers to make their cooling much more efficient and energy helpful and quieter and cooler.
And then before we move on to your next one, I mean, Dover is one P piece of this industry, but the manufacturing sector writ large, that seems like a pretty a bustling area of growth right now.
It is, but steady. Remember, you know, the Federal Reserve just came out and said we're going to lower interest rates because, you know, top line growth for a company like Dover might be just about 3-5%, you know, when they exercise, you know, you're not talking 30% growth like we're talking about in our next stock, like in software and technology. So there's bright spots, and then there's medium spots, and there's something like Dover, which is a patient investors kind of company.
And then your next selection is a name that's been in the news, and one might argue for all the wrong reasons, and that is CrowdStrike.
Yes, and they have earnings. Everyone knows the story, of course, the global IT outage, and you know many people, of course, caught in it, I guess stuck at O'Hare with the Delta meltdown. The stock was as high as $380, almost $400, really an IT cybersecurity darling with revenue growth, rapid revenue growth of about 33%. And, you know, after that incident, the stock dropped in half to 200. So it's not at the bottom or the lows yet now. It's recovered some. You know, right now with earnings coming in the next couple of days, we'll see the damage that happened to its reputation and earnings. But they've had a really good response, as best you can, with something like that. So we're looking on a technical basis, you know, if it drops down to about 250, you might take a look at it. Certainly, it's the leader in cybersecurity. You know, it's aligned with Microsoft, Amazon, Google. It's critical, especially endpoint security, which means something that's monitoring an organization's each little laptop and PC that people are using, and those are susceptible to attacks.
And then very quickly, Matt, historically speaking, when you have a large publicly traded company like a CrowdStrike, not alone in having a very public meltdown, generally, how does that affect the stock price performance over time? When does it bounce back?
It's hard to say, but I think, you know, the CrowdStrike CEO, George Kurtz, is kind of like an industry leader, so it really kind of comes down to people. And if you're going to be an investor in this company, you have to say, you know what? They did a great response to this, as best can be expected. And so we'll see Wednesday evening, you know, further clues on how they're making progress on it.
Matt Shapiro, President MWS Capital in Chicago, thank you for joining us on this Stock Picker Monday. His selections, Dover Corporation, DOV, and CrowdStrike, CRWD. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.